This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. It's a joy to be able to speak to you over the radio, and we trust that this program will bless you. Now, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. The website has this program on it and a weekly meditation, as well as other information that you might find helpful. And if you'd like to leave comments, or if you'd like to leave prayer requests or comments on the program, you can contact me either by regular mail or through the website. And so you might want a pencil and a piece of paper so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, we've been going through Luke chapter 20. We're ending Luke chapter 20, starting Luke chapter 21. And it's been a blessing to go through the Gospel of Luke and to see the humanity of the Lord Jesus. Again, just in review, when we look at Matthew's Gospel, we see him emphasizing, or we see the Gospel that emphasizes the Lord as King. And when we look at Mark, we see the Gospel that emphasizes the Lord as a servant. When we look at Luke, we see the Gospel that emphasizes the Lord as a man. And when we look at John's Gospel, we see the Gospel that emphasizes the Lord as the Son of God. And as we've looked at this passage, these passages in Luke, particularly Luke chapter 19 and 20, and now 21, we're getting to the end of the ministry of the Lord Jesus, and he's in Jerusalem, and these are sort of his last words. Luke doesn't always put everything in chronological order, so we have to be a little careful as to being hard and fast about just when he said some of these things, but it appears that the things we're looking at now were said during the week, just before Passover, just before the crucifixion. And one of the things he does at the end of Luke chapter 20 is he criticizes the scribes. We were looking at that last time. He says, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Now, our Bible makes a break there and takes us to Luke chapter 21, and I wonder sometimes if that break doesn't take the emphasis away of this great contrast that he sets up as he begins now to talk about a widow. Notice in Luke 20, he's talking about scribes who devour widows' houses, and then in Luke 21, starting at verse 1, he looks up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. That would be like putting in two pennies today. So he said, "Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these," that is these rich people, "out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had." And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. You can see that there is a great difference between people who, in simple trusting faith, have come to understand who the Lord really is, and people who simply are in the religious business for the purpose of controlling people and for the purpose of making money. Now, it's quite clear in my mind that the scribes were using the Jewish religion to get people to control the people and to get honor for themselves. And it appears that they were taking advantage of widows. And all through the Old Testament, those who take advantage of widows and the poor were condemned. That was one of the things God condemned Israel for. In addition to their idolatry, he condemned them for not taking care of the poor and the widows. There's always going to be poor and widows in a country, in our land, in an economy. And the Lord expects those who have to help those who have not. And I'm not going to go into that today from the standpoint of the political system, because it's really a message to those who are truly saved that the Lord is speaking. One of the ways today that we show we're truly saved is by taking care of the poor and the widows. Our kingdom is not a physical kingdom, a political kingdom on this land. Our kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And so while he would have been speaking to the Israelites in the Old Testament as being his physical people with a physical land and physical promises, that problem of taking care of the poor would be a spiritual problem, a spiritual promise, a spiritual responsibility today, and a spiritual responsibility of the church. Now, we know that there are many people who think that God is going to weigh our good works against our bad works after we die, and if we have enough good works, we'll go to heaven, and if we don't, we'll go to hell. And we know that as you read the Bible, that's not true. The Bible is quite clear that a person who goes to heaven is saved. They don't go to heaven based on their good works. But a person who is saved does have a change of heart. They are considered to be born again. They are regenerated, and they do show good works. And one of the ways they show those good works is by taking care of the widows and by taking care of the poor. But even this widow shows her devotion to the Lord by giving to the Lord's work. So giving to the Lord's work will never save us, but the saved will have a desire to support in whatever way they can the Lord's work. And he contrasts this widow who gives all that she had to those who are religious, who try to take all they can get. And friend, when we begin to look at the world today, there are many people who consider themselves Christians who have never been born again, who have never been saved, who have never been regenerated, who have never been made over into a new creature in Christ through faith in the Lord Jesus. And because of that, even though they may be practicing Christian values, they are not right with God. Religion is not something that we use to take advantage of others. It's not something that's supposed to give us honor and prestige and power. But yet we know that in the world today, people who don't understand the gospel and who really do want to be right with God can be taken advantage of. We can lay a guilt trip on them and say, well, you need to do this or you need to do that. And if you do this or do that, you'll be honoring God. And the people oftentimes that approach the gospel in that way are many times using the poor instead of helping the poor. And they're using the poor to benefit themselves. So this poor widow, she had a devotion to the Lord. Again, we have to emphasize that works have never made us right with God. But those who are right with God, those who are saved, those who, like Zacchaeus in Luke 19, have met the Lord and have found out that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, people like that have a change in their mind, in their hearts. They're regenerated, the Bible says, and as a result of that, they do good works. And Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 makes that relationship quite clear. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it's for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But verse 10 says that we who are saved are his workmanship. We're a poetic masterpiece created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We never downplay good works. Even when the unsaved do them, the society is benefited. But good works don't give us a place in heaven. The only thing that gives us a place in heaven is salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Paul says. He came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I don't know just how much of that truth this widow had been able to take in, but apparently the Lord had taken care of this widow, and it's quite clear in my mind that she had a devotional faith in God. She had a devotional faith in Jehovah, who we know now is the New Testament Jesus. And how clear that was to her, I don't know, but her heart was right with God, and she made this sacrifice. Even thanksgiving is a sacrifice, God says. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, it says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You see, if we're like a scribe or a Pharisee, we're exalting self. If we are truly saved, we're exalting the Lord. And it's not easy to say thanks. We're a self-sufficient people. But if we are a regenerated people, we can offer the sacrifice of praise. It may cost us something, but we can offer it. This woman, she was praising God by giving all. We haven't given all, most of us, but we hopefully have given sacrificially. And we have hopefully, devotionally given to the Lord. Now, we may give our time. We may give our resources. But most of all, we need to give the Lord our devotion, our hearts, our praise. And that'll only happen when we find out that we can't save ourselves, but that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. When we find out that the work that saves is done, it's a finished work, and we rest on it, and we can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is when we find out that we don't have to work to be saved. But now that we are saved, we can be devoted to the Lord, and we can make the sacrifices for the Lord that a devoted heart should be making. So we don't worship the Lord, we who are saved, out of obligation. We worship the Lord out of devotion. And I think that's exactly what this poor woman was doing. And while not everybody would have considered her sacrifice to have been important, the Lord did. And that's what encourages me. The Lord knows our hearts. He knows us. And he knows any sacrifice we make for him. And he takes note of it. I know we sometimes say we'll be rewarded for it, but we don't do it for the reward. We do it because we just simply want to say, thank you, Lord. We say that the Lord died for us, and we want to say, thank you, Lord, for dying for me. And so today, in this season of Thanksgiving, I hope you have a devoted heart to the Lord, and you're not just playing with religion, but that you are enjoying a relationship built on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon those who have listened and upon thy word. We trust that it'll be helpful to all who have heard today, as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.